Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking about the Packers. We're talking about a victory over the Houston Texans last week. We're looking forward to a game this week against the St. Louis Rams. To talk about those things, as we do every Wednesday here on Railbird Central, we have a guest on the line. We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good, very good. Let's get right down to it. The Packers looked great on Sunday against an undefeated Texans team. The story of the day was probably the performance of Aaron Rodgers, 6 touchdowns. And I think one of the things that made it all the more impressive is that the Houston Texans blitzed them quite heavily. What did you think of the performance of Aaron Rodgers this past Sunday?
Sure. The Texans blitzed a lot in this game, which made a lot of sense for them since the Packers don't often leave a lot of extra men into block. There are only 6 times where they left a tight end to stay in and block, and then they left the running back in more often in order to double-team Watt. But first off, the offensive line did a very good job handling the Texans' pass rush, so that was a big part of why Aaron Rodgers could have the game that he did. And then Aaron Rodgers played how he was playing most of last year. A big part of how he could avoid the blitz is his average time to throw was only 2.4 seconds, which is lower than what he's been throwing this year. And since his receivers were open, it worked well for him.
It is kind of amazing. You would think sometime maybe teams would learn not to blitz Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. You said it was the right decision by the Texans, but I don't know, teams always seem to get burned, don't they, when they blitz Aaron?
Yeah, it depends how the offensive line is doing that day. And in this game, the offensive line was doing well, so it didn't work out for them.
Fair enough. Good performances from a wide receiver trio of Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and Randall Cobb. Aaron Rodgers was helped out by a pretty good performance by them. What did you think of that wide receiver trio?
All 3 of them played very well, but what was most impressive to me was the play by Jordy Nelson. Since Jonathan Joseph of the Texans is one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and wherever Jordy Nelson lined up, Jonathan Joseph lined up across from him. And even though he was going up against a very good cornerback, Nelson still had 9 catches out of the 11 thrown his way. Although Cobb also had a very good performance, even though he had 2 drops. And then even though James Jones just had 3 catches, 2 of them were for touchdowns, and he would have had another big play had Aaron Rodgers not overthrown him when he was throwing to Jones deep.
Elsewhere on the offense, running back Alex Green got his first career start this past Sunday. You know, I don't think he set the world on fire, but I thought it was admirable for his first start. How'd you think he did?
I would agree with your assessment there. I think he did an okay job. He had a few nice plays on first down, and then he also had 2 first downs in there, but he only averaged 3 yards per carry, and he didn't have any huge big plays like he had 1 or 2 last week. And then also, I would expect him in the future to be a bigger part of the pass game, but because Houston blitzed so much, he had to stay in and block more, so he didn't have the opportunity to be a huge part of the pass game in this week.
Yeah, we do have to remember it's his first career start, so I think things are only going to get better from Alex Green from here on out. Over on the defensive side of the football, one of the big storylines is how the Packers stopped Arian Foster in the Texans' running game. Who deserves credit for stuffing Foster and the rest of the Texans' running backs?
I would give Clay Matthews the most credit. He pretty much set the tone for stopping Arian Foster with a tackle for a loss and 2 tackles for short gains in the first quarter alone. No one in the game really had a bad game, and then someone else to note was A.J. Hawk, who also had 2 stops later on in the game, but didn't show up as having a great grade at our website because there were a few plays where he was blocked, and then someone else went in and made the play.
Absolutely unblockable, that Clay Matthews. Now, another linebacker, this one at inside linebacker, though. DJ Smith was lost for the season with a knee injury. How much are the Packers going to miss DJ Smith? What did he bring to the team? Who might replace him? Feel free to take this in any direction you feel, Nathan.
I don't think the Packers will miss DJ Smith all that much. He was replacing Desmond Bishop, which it's really hard to replace how well Bishop was playing. But Brad Jones, in DJ Smith's absence, didn't play all that poorly at inside linebacker. He had a good tackle for a loss, and he was only in on 7 run plays. So even though that's a small sample size, I don't see Brad Jones doing all that much worse than what DJ Smith was playing, even though Smith wasn't playing all that poorly. But then there's also the Packers have been using a lot more dime defense in the past few weeks because of how well everyone in the secondary has been playing. So I could see that shift to the dime defense being even more so, where Charles Woodson would almost be that second inside linebacker since he'd be the other player close to the line of scrimmage somewhere in the box.
Very interesting. Well, I hope the Packers don't miss him too much. I think fans their feelings are along those lines. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here this morning on Railbird Central. Somebody who's turned in a pretty good performance so far this season, a rookie, Casey Hayward, himself a cornerback in the secondary for the Packers, 2 interceptions on Sunday. What can we say about him?
He's been playing excellently this year. He is the second highest rated cornerback on our website of all the cornerbacks in the league right now. He has been thrown at 19 times this year and has allowed just 9 catches for 75 yards. So he is allowed a catch rate of just 47%, which is very low for a cornerback, which is good. And then the yards per catch he has allowed has been just 8.3 yards, which typically we'll see cornerbacks allow roughly 13 to 14 yards per catch, so he's significantly lower there. And on top of that, he's been making plays with 3 interceptions and 3 passes defended. And then I was also impressed in that he has been playing strictly as a slot cornerback role for the Packers defense, but due to the Sam Shields injury late in the game, and then also not wanting him to be matched up against Andre Johnson, Hayward played more on the outside as well and showed that he can play both the slot position and the outside position in this game.
Very interesting. Well, that would certainly seem to lend a little credence about the Packers playing perhaps a little more dime defense with DJ Smith out of the game. But let's look forward here to the game Sunday against the St. Louis Rams. It's the final game of a 3-game road trip for the Packers. Give us a little preview of what the Rams bring to the table.
The Rams' offense isn't bringing all that much to the table. Their big part of their offense earlier in the season was Danny Amendola, who is injured and I believe will be missing this game. Steven Jackson has been playing well recently, but the Rams haven't been giving him all that many carries. And the Rams' offensive line is a complete mess, so this would be a good game for some of the Packers' younger pass rushers to step up. Then on the Rams' defensive side of the ball, they have a very good secondary in Cortland Finnegan, Janoris Jenkins, and Bradley Fletcher. So I don't see Cobb having all that great of a game because he'll be lining up in the slot and Cortland Finnegan is their slot cornerback and is one of the best slot corners in the game. However, Jenkins last week allowed 9 catches for 92 yards, so he was finally exposed. So I could see one of the Packers' outside receivers taking advantage of Jenkins and having a big game there.
Very interesting. Well, Nathan, thank you very much for joining us this week, as you do every week here on Railbird Central. We appreciate it and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us on Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to Nathan. Thanks to you for joining us here this morning, folks. I don't think your comments are being approved on the live blog this morning, but that's okay. If you want to chime in, just feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player there, and your comments will pop up and come through. So let's start talking about those Packers and talking about the topics of the day here. You know, Tuesday, yesterday, is usually the Packers' day off for the week. They don't practice. It's their weekend, you know. While they play on the weekends on Sundays, when the most of the world has their time off. Not everybody, certainly, but they get Tuesdays off. The Packers do, you know, assuming it's not like a Monday night football game or some weird Thursday night or something like that. So, you know, not a whole lot of news coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue yesterday. But, the thing that did happen, as it does every Tuesday, is Aaron Rodgers' weekly radio interview over at the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee, 540 AM WAUK, every week, every Tuesday usually is when they have it there. And a couple interesting tidbits from Aaron Rodgers yesterday. First of all, it looks like he could appear on the injury report this week. Aaron Rodgers admitting basically that he got injured, hurt slightly on his third quarter touchdown run. That was actually called back by penalty. It was a holding call on Marshall Newhouse, so didn't actually count, but Packers end up scoring anyway. But beside the point, Aaron Rodgers hurt his leg. You could kind of see him limping toward the end of the game. You think it might have factored perhaps a little bit into the decision to put Graham Harrell in the game late, although the Packers were winning by so much that it might have happened anyway. But so Aaron Rodgers just saying, he did get hurt and he may appear on the injury report this week. Didn't get into details about what exactly was the issue, but kind of got hit. I think he collided with the cornerback there for the Texans, Jonathan Joseph, at the goal line a little bit before going into the end zone. But Aaron Rodgers, expect that to happen today, perhaps. Expect that to happen. Don't be alarmed if you see Aaron Rodgers on the injury report this week. It doesn't appear to be serious. Eventually, during the interview, I think he said that he would be playing against the Rams anyway. So it's not going to be anything that keeps him out for any amount of time. And I see some questions coming in here on the live blog this week, today, and just want to address them as they come in here. Kevin K. Lamb Cheesehead chimes in asking, do you think Zombo or Quarless will be activated this week? Good question. So, yes, this week is the first time the players on the PUP list are eligible to begin practicing. They're just eligible. They don't have to begin practicing. There is a 3-week window in which they can begin practicing. So anytime in that 3-week window, they can, you know, get back to action. And it's not, and they don't count against the roster for those 3 weeks. They can just simply practice. See, once they start practicing, a separate 3-week window is open in which they would have to be either activated or cut. So that's kind of how it works out. Now, what do I think is going to happen? Just based upon the comments of Mike McCarthy, he's said Frank Zombo, the linebacker, Andrew Corliss, the tight end, are further along in their progress than opposed to offensive lineman Derek Sherrod. Those three are the three players on the PUP list. So I would guess that perhaps Zombo and Corliss would be ready to be at least begin practicing this week, or, you know, maybe next week. It doesn't sound like it's going to be too long with them. So I don't perhaps expect them to make a roster move right away. The Packers, you know, don't have to. They're going to, you know, let the week play out, I think, see how they're doing. Of course, the Packers do have a roster spot open now. They kind of looks like they had made or going to make two transactions this week. They've already placed running back Brandon Sain on injured reserve and actually claimed running back Johnny White on waivers, so he'll be practicing for the first time with the Packers today. So that move is made, but, you know, the Packers have said DJ Smith's season is done. They haven't placed him on injured reserve yet, but they can at any time. The Packers probably not too worried about replacing his spot on the roster because they got these extra guys to practice now, Zombo, Quarles. They're probably okay from a numbers standpoint this week, so they'll probably take the week to decide, okay, is Frank Zombo ready? Is Quarles ready? I just guessing, I would think they'll begin practicing today. No guarantees. Nobody said that. Mike McCarthy has made no guarantees, but just guessing. I think they'll practice this week, but they'll take the entire week to decide whether or not to place them on the 53-man roster because they don't have to. The Packers certainly can wait on placing them on the 53-man roster for three more weeks after they start practicing. So, a lot of little complicated subject there when you're talking about the PUP list and the rules they have to apply by or the rules the Packers can invoke, things like that. So Will Carlisle, Ted the Sledge, says on the live blog here, ask a question. Since Green Bay has a week 10 bye, does that give them an extra week for PUP decisions? I do not think so. I think they still have to apply by those, 3-week rules, the 2-3-week windows, a 3-week window to begin practicing. And once that window is open, they have another 3 weeks to then decide whether or not to place them on the active roster or not. So, I don't think that the bye week buys them an extra week. I think they have to make a decision sometime in there to decide what to do with them. So, they could certainly wait as long as possible. They can wait till the end of the, from week 6 to week 9 to begin practicing, and then from week 9 to week 12 to add them to the active roster. So, really, if the Packers really want to wait this thing out, they want to give this thing as long as possible, you could see somebody not playing until week 12. We could see Derek Sherrod, not coming back till week 12. And of course, the Packers don't even have to add them to the active roster. What they could do is place them on injured reserve, ending their season. They could do that, or they could cut them. I don't know how realistic it is that they're going to cut any of these guys. If there's anybody they might cut, it could be Frank Zombo. But we'll see. The injury to Nick Perry this week could play into that. A lot of injury situations here. Of course, DJ Smith and Brandon Sain's seasons are done. But on top of that, there was a couple more, less serious injuries to linebacker, first-round draft choice Nick Perry, and also cornerback Sam Shields. Going to see what's up with them starting today. Doesn't look like it's serious, but who knows? It could be saying where they're out for a week, maybe. Maybe it's good news they're not out for the season, but they could be out for a week. So hard to say what the Packers are going to do there. You could be looking at Sam Shields being out for a week, maybe Devon House coming back, maybe Casey Hayward playing a larger role. Just talk to Nathan Yonke and what he thinks of, Casey Hayward, that maybe he deserves to play a larger role in the Packers defense. At outside linebacker, could be looking at Eric Walden playing the whole game instead of the timeshare we have seen between Walden and Perry. Could see Desmond Moses playing a larger role. Who knows? And then now let's talk about the guys who missed the Texans game entirely. Wide receiver Greg Jennings and defensive lineman BJ Raji. What's up with them? A lot of injury situations to monitor this week. Hard to say what the Packers are going to do with Greg Jennings. I know some people have advocated, keeping Greg Jennings perhaps out until the bye week, just letting that groin heal and just be like, let's let this thing get back to 100%. And then Greg Jennings will hopefully be fine after that. I don't know. It kind of sounds like they don't need quite that long for Greg Jennings to heal. But, again, I have no clue. I'm not inside the Packers organization. We'll see. As far as B.J. Raji goes, he missed this past Sunday's game against the Texans with an ankle injury. Kind of sounded like, I think Mike McCarthy said he was close to going. So, you know, I would assume that B.J. Raji will practice sometime this week. Maybe they keep him out of action today here on Tuesday, give him another day to rest and recover. But apart from that, who knows? Maybe he'll be back tomorrow. Maybe he'll be back Friday. Maybe he'll practice the whole week. So again, just a lot of things to monitor this week. A lot of injury situations, decisions about PUP list players, things like that. Just a lot of injury situations to focus on today, including that of Aaron Rodgers, which I was, you know, originally started out this whole conversation saying he may just appear on the injury report this week. With a leg injury, but doesn't appear to be anything serious. You know, getting back to the Aaron Rodgers interview, you know, host Jason Wilde talked to him about basically the criticism he received this past week, which was kind of interesting. Aaron Rodgers had made a comment about, you know, the rookies on the practice squad or the rookies on the team, on the scout team, perhaps not practicing as well as they should or giving it the seriousness that they should, and then Aaron Rodgers being blasted in the media about that in regards to you know, one criticism came from Skip Bayless, of course, of ESPN, who, you know, basically saying Aaron Rodgers was making excuses, etc., etc. And it was rather ridiculous. I mean, anybody should know better than to, you know, put any stock into anything Skip Bayless says on ESPN. Aaron Rodgers wasn't making an excuse. He was just saying that's one thing, probably one thing among many that needs to improve on the Packers team. He wasn't saying that's the reason I played poorly prior to the Texans game. Just saying, you know, that's got to improve. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. So, you know, I don't think Skip Bayless knows what he's talking about. But then on top of that, there was a comment, apparently, and I did not see it. I have not seen a replay. I've not seen an online video, and maybe I should try to look this up. Shannon Sharp of CBS, who, you know, appears on their pregame show, what they call it, NFL Today, and, you know, saying basically that maybe Aaron Rodgers is not liked among his receivers. And just kind of curious, I mean, you get the impression that, you know, Shannon Sharp, the brother of former Packer Sterling Sharp, got that information from the receivers on the Packers, from somebody on the team. Now, who that is up for speculation. I suppose you might perhaps argue that it came from JerMichael Finley. There's kind of the connection there. Sharp's a tight end. Maybe he talked to Finley, who's a tight end on the team. I don't know. Maybe he talked to Donald Driver. I don't really know where this is coming from for sure. But, you know, it's... you know, I don't know, though. You have no clue what to make of that. But, you know, it kind of goes back to the comments JerMichael Finley made last week, the It Takes Two comments, that JerMichael Finley's trying to work on the chemistry between him and Aaron Rodgers, but leaving the impression that maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't trying to build any chemistry. I don't know. That's what the comments lead you to read into them. From JerMichael Finley, it's a soap opera. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's a soap opera between Finley and Rodgers here. You know, not even between them necessarily, but just, you know, fans reading into it, the media reacting to it, things like that. So Aaron Rodgers on his weekly radio show, you know, reacting to this, saying, you know, people are entitled to their opinions, but. You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, quieted his critics, literally, with his performance this past Sunday against Houston. And as everybody's seen by now, the infamous post-game interview where Rodgers goes, shh, to his critics. That's what he wants to say to them. So, and Aaron Rodgers handling that rather marvelously, by the way. So that's the, you know, news cycle over the past 24 hours here with the Packers as they start to get ready for a St. Louis team. As the you can see the title of this morning's show, the final game, final leg of the road trip. The Packers in their third of three consecutive road games, losing in Indianapolis, getting redemption in Houston, and now finishing up with another a team, St. Louis, who comes in with the 3-3 record, same as the Packers. Kind of St. Louis, though, a reputation that, you know, they've kind of been known as a losing team the past decade or so. You know, pretty much ever since they won the Super Bowl there with Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner. They were kind of good there in the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, since that time, since the greatest show on turf, you know, things have kind of gone downhill in St. Louis. But, you know, they hired Jeff Fisher as a coach this year, and things are kind of, you know, they're performing okay there in St. Louis, kind of, you know, turning things around perhaps a little bit. So, you know, I think people pegged St. Louis. A lot of the predictions had them in the basement of the NFC West, and which I think they still currently are. But regardless, you know, they've kind of exceeded expectations so far by starting off with a 500 record through six games. So, you know, it's no gimme for the Packers. And, you know, Nathan Jahnke just basically brought it up during our interview here. A little bit of struggles on the offensive side for the Rams, but not looking too bad on defense. But even though they might be struggling on offense in St. Louis, there's guys you got to respect. You got to respect Steven Jackson, who's been one of the best running backs in the NFL over the course of his career. Got to respect Sam Bradford, you know, who's sometimes plagued by spotty play around him, his receivers and offensive line. But, I mean, here's a Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who's obviously talented. Not that a Heisman Trophy means anything in the pros, but, I mean, still, that's still a pretty high honor and something you got to respect. At least. So Packers looking to get a win this upcoming Sunday against the St. Louis Rams. We'll be breaking that down throughout the rest of the week. And yeah, we'll be looking forward to that game on Sunday. The Packers hopefully looking to get over the 500 mark for once this season. And still haven't put together back-to-back wins yet this year either. So looking forward to all those things. Hopefully. Happening. So that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you so much for listening in. We'll be back on Friday. In fact, I got to talk to Dre Divac as he joins us here every week on the live blog on Railbird Central, giving us one of those St. Louis in Focus episodes as we try to give a little bit of a visitor's guide into the city of St. Louis for any fans that might be traveling there this weekend. So looking forward to that. And we'll talk to you then, folks. We'll see you on Friday. We'll talk more about the Rams game and talk more about the Packers then. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called, let's see, Mental Floss, by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.